Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. This is Snap Reactions, wide receiver position for week 6. Going through here, Arizona. AJ Green led in snaps in week 6 amongst Arizona wide receivers. I think the notable thing with what we'll see, and I wanted to sort of watch for this week, we'll begin to watch for in coming weeks with the addition of Zach Ertz, is really the role that Rondale Moore would take in a post-Max Williams era. So we got very little out of the tight end position, which I was hoping maybe that there was some hope of like a Demetrius Harris breakout. Not going to happen. 56% snap share for Rondale Moore. That is up from 42.6% in prior weeks. So I think that's something we're definitely going to watch for and see how he fits in with Zach Ertz here going forward. I still question what the upside could be, but again, they can sort of post four top 45 wide receivers. That wouldn't be terribly, terribly shocking. It just probably takes the top off, you know, the ceiling off of the top two of those, I would say. You're probably going to be more wide receiver twos and threes than they are going to be ones and twos. Hopkins, 3.8 expected touchdowns so far. He has 6 actual touchdowns, so he's performing well over expectation there, and it might be the source of a little bit of regression. He's wide receiver 15 so far in the season. Marquise Brown, receptions, well over expectation. In terms of, he has 32 receptions. Expected for 26.9. He has 486 yards. Expected for just short of 390. And then he has 5 touchdowns. And he expected for 3.7. Rashad Bateman, 4 for 26. 4 catches for 26 yards in his return. We'll see how this ultimately boils out. I mean, I think it's pretty interesting with Andrews and Marquise Brown really being the headliners of this offense, and then how Bateman fits in. Like, this could be a really interesting, I don't think this team's a one seed, but they're in the driver's seat right now for that. It'd be pretty interesting. I think Brown is one where he's a little bit of a tweener in terms of, I'm not entirely sure how the market will treat him long term, if he is going to be more of the, you know, like sort of thought in like a wide receiver 2 or 3 role fantasy rankings wise. You know, and that's sort of, honestly, it sort of fits where who he is. He's more of an overachieving wide receiver 3 in terms of 14.8 expected points per game. Again, that's 19th. And so the overall problem that I have with putting him really, really high at the position is that I just think that expected points number, he's going to have to really outproduce that. And he is right now. He's 3.8 points over expectation. He's averaging 18.5. That is the 10th best in the league. I just feel like he's more of an overachieving wide receiver 2/3 than he is. And really, that's a 3/4, which you want on your depth chart. I question sort of having him up in the top, you know, 15 or so of the position if he continues to trend this way. And again, he has additional competition too with Bateman and that, and you're just not going to throw a ton. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. All right, DJ Moore. I found some interesting stuff on DJ Moore. So DJ Moore, 40 for 5-13, 3 touchdowns. It's right on expectation. That is a notable. He is 5th in terms of expected points and 9th in terms of actual PPR performance. That's 18.6 points per game. So you're looking at a wide receiver 1. Prior years, 4 touchdowns, and then now he's got 3. So those are the past 3 years. 2019, he had 4 touchdowns on 5.7 expected touchdowns. In 2020, he had 4 touchdowns on 6.5 expected touchdowns. And in 2021, he has 3 touchdowns on 3.1 expected touchdowns. So he is already well ahead of his pace for the prior 2 years in expected touchdowns. And I think that we could see, you know, if he performs closer to expectation, we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see him, A, really, really take a jump. But I think that expected touchdown number, he's essentially a third of the way through the season. It's not, he's a little bit more than that, obviously, but he is, you know, with 6 games in, he's a little bit more than that. But you get very much a look at a wide receiver that is all of a sudden pointing much more towards looking like a top, you know, a 10 touchdown reception guy coming from a 4. And you say, well, how do you do that, right? It's a couple of things. It's an expanded role. Plus, it is a performing to that role. So So an interesting sort of growth there. Again, much higher pace in terms of, you know, almost, you know, going up, you know, a pretty significant margin in terms of the touchdowns there. Again, if he can perform at expectation and see the expectation grow, all of a sudden you've got a really massive breakout from a guy that was probably close to 15, you know, basically a point a game or so below expectation the past 2 years. So I think that's a notable jump that we could see. Robbie Anderson, 44th in expectation. He's just drowning and way under expectation. He's like 50% below his receiving expectation. He's got 15 catches expected for 23.7. Again, that's brutal. He's got 190 receiving yards. He's expected for 341. So again, that's brutal. He's actually expected for 11.6 points, which wouldn't be horrible. Again, it would be sort of wide receiver 4. That's not great, not what we were hoping for. But he's 75th in terms of points per game. I mean, he's just, that's not good. So we'll see ultimately how that all works out. Chicago, it's really Darnell Mooney is getting more of the work. And Darnell Mooney's actually performing like solidly well. So 1.73 yards per route run for him. Again, you'll sort of take that expectation, 12.3 points per game. He's at actually 10.4 in terms of actual performance, 52nd. 10 expected points for Allen Robinson, 71st in actual points at 8.4 points per game. Mooney with 38 targets, Robinson with 36. So again, they're both similar in terms of their workload, but 306 for Darnell Mooney in terms of yards, 234 for Allen Robinson. A big difference there. So Allen Robinson going to need to rehab his value here going down the stretch of the season. I think he's really going to fit in like a wide receiver 3 type of valuation here going forward. And you could see his price really collapse from being like a mid wide receiver 2 to being like a lower end wide receiver 3 in terms of startup cost next year, which honestly, we'll see where he lands in free agency. That might not be a bad thing. All right, Cincinnati, just pretty wild here in terms of some of the snap stuff. I saw a poll and I just had to glom onto it. People were like, oh, is T. Higgins, I think it was Dynasty Nerds, put out a poll. Is T. Higgins a wide receiver too? Or sorry, a top 20 wide receiver. And someone retweeted it and put out, like, let's try top 10. And I was like, that is just outrageous. That just doesn't seem at all right. And so I said, let me just tweet this out. It's like 60%+ said he is a top 20 wide receiver, way more than Evans. 1.59 yards per route run, and that is by far third on the team. 2.96 for Chase, 1.71 for Boyd. So again, amongst their big three, Higgins is clearly the lowest in terms of yards per route run. And snaps, clearly the third in snaps. 79% for Chase, 62% for Boyd, 57%. This is the past week for Higgins. Again, they've been sort of fluctuating in and out a little bit, but I think it's one of those things you look at and you're like, oh man, like that's not ultimately that great. I'm a firm sell. If you can get top 20 valuation for him, I'm a firm sell. So either move up the board, running back to wide receiver, running back plus Higgins for a better wide receiver. I think that absolutely is something that you should probably be looking into here, and potentially making a move up the board. Odell Beckham Jr., 13.1 expected points. He's at 8.9 actual points. So pretty significant underperformance just across the board. So we'll see there with him. Like, there's plenty of opportunity for him. He just needs to cash it in. Again, that's his lack of doing that in this Cleveland offense is bothersome. Donovan Peoples-Jones is way over expectation, but that is primarily off the back of a huge Hail Mary catch in the end zone. 5.2 points per game expected for Rashad Higgins, and he's scoring right at that. So disappointing all around there for him. I ran him out there this week and got hurt in the process. So don't follow my pain, and try and avoid Rashad Higgins in your lineup if at all possible. All right, turning next to Dallas, and some good stuff here. We're seeing growth from CeeDee Lamb, 70% of snaps out wide. Really, that's good, right? We saw a ton of slot snaps for him. We're seeing a full-on expansion of his role. That's excellent. That is good news. That was my hang-up with him. Like, hey, perform really well, but again, he's playing like three less games than Michael Gallup. That just can't happen and be an elite asset. So he's doing fine. 12th in terms of points per game. with 15.7. And he's actually expected for, he's actual 18.1 points per game. 15.7 is what is expected. Points for Amari Cooper, 15.2. He's expected for 13.8. So they're both overperforming expectation. I think that's a sign of a pretty good offense, probably a pretty good quarterback, ultimately. 49% of the snaps for Wilson this past week. Again, he's going to play a role, and he's a flyer type when Michael Gallup is unavailable. All right, Green Bay and Alan Lazard, which was another failed streaming attempt. I'll tell you, this week was really nice in the sense of I got a bountiful amount of points from injury away running backs. What I got zero production from was streaming wide receivers, which is, we could put that on an AOD t-shirt and send it out to the masses, because that is exactly what we try and guard against. Well, I got right into that and it didn't work out. Alan Lazard, one of those guys, 0.76 yards per route run this year. Pretty disappointing. In his three games without Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 79%, 86%, 85% snap share. Just not doing it. 5 expected points per game. He's underperforming that at 4.7. Devontae Adams, all I need to tell you is one stat. 3.48 yards per route run. 3.48 yards per route run. He is elite. All right, Houston. Brandon Cooks, 8th in terms of expected points. That's really in expected receptions. That's really good. 9th in terms of expected points per game. 17th in terms of total points per game. It's primarily touchdown related. He's got 1 touchdown. He's expected for 2.5. So you sort of add that up. There's a difference between your 15.8 points per game expected and your 17, in your 17 points per game, right? He's overperforming in terms of receptions and in yards, underperforming in touchdowns. It basically essentially equals out. He's just overperforming expectation a little bit, over a point a game better than he's expected, which could be even better if he scored another touchdown or two here. So I do think this isn't just he's a high variance, which catch him, sell him type. It's actually pretty supported, and he's performing above expectation, so you feel really good about that. Michael Pittman performing slightly below expectation, 13 points per game, 13.7 expected points per game. Again, that's almost entirely touchdowns. So he is overperforming receptions and yards, underperforming touchdowns. That is a sign to me of good, right? That is a sign that there is some positive sort of trends going in that direction. So I still think he's a buy. Again, I've tried for a second round valuation. It hasn't worked. I'm going to continue to try. Hope that there's frustrated GMs out there that have Pittman on the roster. All right, Marvin Jones performing exactly at expectation, 13.4 points per game. Feel solid about that. Wide receiver 4, 3, 4 in that range. Feel fine about that. LaVisca Chenault under expectation. He is expected for 1.4 touchdowns. He has 0 so far on the season. And he is basically expected for 11.4 points per game and has 9.8. So, again, that's probably touchdown related. But, again, that's just the floor on that expectation isn't that high. So that's definitely a problem there. And you need to see some more growth from him. Jamal Agnew is one that's officially interesting. 29 routes per game over the past 2 games. He has 2.05 yards per route run. I have no idea if this is going to last. He has jumped from 14% snap share to 63% and 59% the past couple weeks. That screams probably not going to last. But I do think in a post-DJ Shark world, if that's really what we're going to be seeing here, there's some openings for other guys, and he could potentially be one. So I'm interested. Again, it's probably deeper leagues. Again, I think he's maybe a spot start in a safe leagues or beyond type of format. So 28 man or beyond type format. I think Agnew is officially of interest at that depth. Okay, Kansas City, and here's just three. I'm just going to name 3 players with 2 different stat lines, and it'll tell you all you need to know. Tyreek Hill, 225 routes, Mecole Hardman, 195 routes. DeMarcus Robinson, 193 routes. Yards per route run. Tyreek Hill, 2.63. Mecole Hardman, 1.34. And DeMarcus Robinson, 0.65. So, Mecole Hardman actually performing decently. Like, it's still below average, but he's performing significantly better in the offense than DeMarcus Robinson is. And they're basically halvesies of each other, right? Hardman is half of Hill, and Robinson is half of Hardman. When you look out to Vegas, I do think you see some growth here with Henry Ruggs. Again, I'm not doing every team, by the way. I've left a couple out that are, I think, not interesting enough to discuss. When you look at Vegas, you have 12.9 points per game for Ruggs, and that's 9.2 expected points. So you are seeing some growth there. He has 445 yards to only 317 in terms of expected yards. That's officially interesting in terms of him. And you look, him and Edwards have pretty deep ADOTs. It's very similar in that sense. I am interested to see sort of what this offense can offer in terms of growth in the second half of the season, because I think you have these guys up and coming both together at the same time. I think this offense is officially interesting. 1.5 yards per route run for Edwards. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Leads wide receivers in routes for the team, and 7.5 expected points per game. Like, it's okay. It's not the sign of a huge breakout yet. But this is, again, kind of the problem with wide receivers generally. Like, even if they're okay, they're not particularly usable, and like, you're sort of stuck with them, right? Like, that's 7.5 points per game expected. Like, he's having an okay statistical season, and that's just not going to help you for fantasy purposes. So this is kind of a case point in terms of why it's really hard to get these and how it's really hard to get these situations right. All right, Robert Woods is generally fine. He's actually at or above career expectation in terms of yards per route run at 1.84. It's fine. 43 targets, 29 receptions, 353 receiving yards. He's got three touchdowns, 29th in terms of points, 24th in terms of expectation. So just slightly underperforming expectation with his where he ranks in points. I think he's fine in the wide receiver two, wide receiver three range, which is what you paid for him, hoping for a wide receiver one finish. Like, that's kind of the benefit. He's a good example of why you sort of go to the thrift shop and sort of buy that profile, because, hey, you think you're going to get sort of that production of, like, the immediate term production of a wide receiver 1-2 type, and it's more of like a wide receiver 2-3 type. But that's the cost you paid, and you sort of shot for the stars and you hit the moon, right? That's kind of what you're hoping for with that pick. There's a lot of floor in that, and he represents a good example of that type of investment strategy and cost. Again, that'll probably result in him falling in price, and you can continue to collect shares, and he'll sort of level out in this range and be fine for like the next couple of years if he stays in the offense. Look at Minnesota quickly. You have Adam Thielen ranking up in the top six in terms of expected points. Again, I think that's a good example of you sort of are shooting for a really high floor with a player like him. Again, it's tough to sort of get ceiling right in terms of expectation and in terms of projecting it, just because touchdowns make such a difference. He's right about at expectation, three touchdowns, 3.2 expected. So again, you feel like that is a really broad target to hit in terms of selecting a player like him. That's just why I love that profile. Adam Thielen, he is 13.7 expected points. That's 27th at the position, but he is Mr. Over expectation. He ranks 13th in terms of points per game right now, off the back of five touchdowns and three expected touchdowns. So again, that's basically accounting for almost his entire expectation over expectation there with the touchdowns there. And he is over in terms of receptions and yards too. I mean, he is overperforming. And I think it's actually good news that he's overperforming in the other things too, because that was a big sign for me. It's like the target numbers are down and those sorts of things. Like, he's at six receptions per game, which is up from where he's been in prior iterations. And that was like more of in line of where his targets were at last year. So I think that's definitely a good sign there for him going forward. Turning over to New England, Jacoby Myers, again, is still under expectation here because of his touchdown scoring. He's at 13.7 expected points per game. He has zero touchdowns. He still has zero touchdowns in his career, which is interesting. When you look at him, he is, in terms of expected points, he is at 27th. In the league. Again, when you look at his actual points per game, well below that, he's still a buy for me. Again, I wonder if it's a big time difference maker. He's scoring as a wide receiver 4 when he's profiling more as a wide receiver 2/3 type. Again, how much, if you sort of ask the question, who cares? It's tough to argue with that. But I think that's one that I would potentially look at and say, if you're trying to find some growth, like, he's a player that could do that with. Everyone in the offense is performing under expectation, with the exception of Kendrick Bourne, who's actually averaging 10.2 points per game on 6.5 expected points. And that is primarily on a touchdown and a half over expectation there with him. So he's a potential one that could be out there as well, and available in your leagues. All right, the injured New York Giants, and you just have we have the Kenny Galladay theory in full effect in terms of the injury hangover and just it constantly not going right for him. Dante Pettis, the motivational tour of Kyle Shanahan, continues with Dante Pettis, 61% snaps this past week. And it looks like, Galladay, we'll see what the long-term status of him is. John Ross playing a little bit less than half of the snaps here over the past, few games or whatnot. He's over since week 4, basically. It's 44%, 60%, 43%. So thereabouts, about half the snaps. It's Sterling Shepard back, 91% snap share. There's just a lot of moving pieces in this offense. We'll see who's healthy in any given week. I'll just say, in terms of actual snap share for this week, 91% for Shepard, 61% for Pettis, 57% for Colin Johnson, 43% for John Ross, and then 8% for Tony, because he also knocked out. So, again, there's just kind of all over the place with this offense. It's pretty tough to trust it, any specific person in any specific week. Okay, turning next to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm not covering the teams that have buys right now just because we already did them. It's still Devonta Smith way up there at the position in terms of basically running all of the routes, all of the plays. He is up in terms of expectation. He's at 12.2. He's currently wide receiver 47 in terms of overall points per game at 11.3. So you're kind of in a situation where you're feeling out like a wide receiver 4 type production profile right now. He's at wide receiver 40 in terms of 12.2 points per game. Jalen Reagor, 7.5 points per game. He's actually underperforming that at 6.4. So his expectation, 7.5. Actual performance, 6.4. I'm not sure what you can do to sort of sell him at this point. I mean, I think if you could take a second, you'd probably do it. I don't know where you're going to get that from ultimately. When you look at it, like, his receiving grade, 57.3. At PFF, is actually notably behind Quez Watkins as well. Quez Watkins is the highest graded player on their team. 0.72 yards per route run for Jalen Reagor, a clear disappointment. He's about basically half of what Devonta Smith is in terms of 1.48 there for Devonta Smith. All right, Pittsburgh's an interesting one. 92% snap share the past 3 weeks for Deontay Johnson. He's the clear wide receiver 1 in terms of usage for the offense. Claypool is basically 55% and then 84%, so ramping back up off a DMP 3 weeks ago. And then you basically get, I think, the fallout from the Juju Smith-Schuster injury here. So 3 weeks ago, Juju Smith-Schuster played 95%. Last 2 weeks ago, he played 38%, and then this past week he DMP'd because of injury. The major workload there has gone to Ray McLeod, run 47 routes the past 2 weeks, the clear wide receiver 3. 69% snap share in week six. I thought there was a potential James Robinson opportunity. Not so much. Ray-Ray McCloud hasn't really done much. It's four targets, three receptions, 19 yards. But I do think, and again, you sort of look at the yards per route run, like that doesn't checks out pretty low, but it's at 0.40. But I do think he's the one that's getting the opportunities at present with Juju Smith-Schuster out. So we will watch and see as that goes forward. Turning over to their matchup this past week, the Seattle Seahawks, you do get, I think, a downtick in performance here. Again, it's one game against a pretty good defense. So on the road, I mean, let's take it with a grain of salt in terms of the Geno Smith stuff. But Tyler Lockett goes 5 targets, 2 receptions, 35 yards, 6 targets, 6 receptions, 58 yards for DK Metcalf. Some ancillary stuff from Freddie Swaim with a big fumble recovery there as well. He's run 29 routes. He's basically the third in that offense in terms of running a ton of routes, just not really doing much. And I would expect some downtick from Lockett and Metcalf here just in terms of over volume. 13.3 points per game expected for DK Metcalf. That is ranking firmly in the wide receiver range of wide receiver 32. And so again, that's not great in terms of where he sort of slots in at the position. It's even worse for Metcalf, 45 at 11.4. So they're both overperforming expectation, but the expectation for them is pretty low. I can't imagine it's going to trend in a positive direction with Ross out. Again, maybe this is a situation where you can buy low on either of them, but just sort of be careful that they might not help you. It's more of a dynasty trade than anything at this point. Turning over to Tampa here, and 93% snap share for Mike Evans, 91% for Chris Godwin, 49% for Antonio Brown. So basically when they have all been healthy, so like when Godwin and Brown and Evans have all played, which has basically been 5 out of 6 weeks. Antonio Brown didn't play week 3. But all the other weeks, it has basically been between 44% and 65% snap share for Antonio Brown. And he has been the wide receiver 3 in terms of snaps every single game that he has played this year. So I do think in terms of that, you do have to have a little bit of caution on what you might expect for a ceiling for him. That said, 18th in terms of expected points per game right now. So like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty nice. 15th for Mike Evans, 19th for Chris Godwin. So again, you have 3 guys in basically the wide receiver 2 range of the position. And honestly, it feels pretty right given how good their offense is humming. Antonio Brown significantly outpacing his expectation. He is at 19.1 in terms of total points. That is over 15.4 expected points, so a big difference there. Godwin's slightly over expectation as well, at 15.5 compared to expected 14.8. And then for Evans, it's 16.2 actual points for 16 expected. So a little bit of a difference there. Antonio Brown, the big overperformer at this particular point. And, you know, we'll see how it ultimately unfolds. I still think I like Evans ahead of Godwin, ahead of Brown, but I could be convinced that Brown is right there in the mix with those other 2 guys. And it's close enough that the variance could go up for one of the guys and down for the other ones. And all of a sudden, one looks really good, one looks really bad. And in reality, they're playing really close together, which is the ultimate truth about the whole situation. All right, Tennessee, they gashed the Bills, and it makes me sad. Julio got knocked around again, so we'll see there. I'll say this. I think A.J. Brown, excuse me, is playing pretty well. I did receive a question, which is interesting, from the group chat about Ryan Tannehill. And I think it's interesting with A.J. Brown, in particular, with his high variance, in terms of his performance. They don't have his game log in yet for PFF. So to caveat this with the fact that I don't have his Monday night performance yet in this data. But one of the things with him that I've always sort of wondered is the overproduction in terms of in terms of his touchdowns. So at this point, he has, throughout his career, been a better performer in terms of touchdowns than he has been than you would expect. Expected for two touchdowns so far this year, he has one. So he's a really high touchdown rate scorer. And I've always thought maybe that would be something that would regress and come back down. When you look at him, like the points per target, for example, like he kind of breaks that. And you're like, that just doesn't, it just doesn't really seem like it's going to be all that doable. For example, last year he was expected for 5.5 touchdowns. He scored 11. That's just a lot. And so now it's smoothing out a little bit more. And you look at him last year, he was in the low 20s in terms of expected points. 2 years ago, he was in the 50s in terms of expected points per game. Again, 3.7 total touchdowns expected on the season. He scored 8. So again, you just look at those and you say, all right, like those things have to come back. And I think he has definitely come back this year to the pack. Again, he's 13th. 2 years ago in terms of total points scored, per game, right? So 13.6 points per game. I think that is it's notable that he's actually performing closer to baseline there relative to touchdowns than he has in prior years. That was a big thing with both him and Tannehill, were over expectation. And I always thought, like, man, it just doesn't seem right in terms of, like, there's just something, it's just too high, right? It's simply put, it's too high. And I think that we are seeing some of that regression now. When you look at the expected touchdowns for Tannehill, he is actually underperforming his touchdown rate. So 9.8 touchdowns expected right now. He is at 6, and that is, again, through – that does not – it actually does include his Week 6 games. I take that back. It has updated to include his Week 6 games. So those stats for A.J. Brown do as well. So he's underperforming that, where in prior iterations he had really overperformed touchdown rate. So, he was one up there in like the 6-7 percentile, 7% of his attempts going for touchdowns. That just isn't natural. And it's just not something that happens just over and over again. So I think that he's one that was over basically 4.5 touchdowns last year. And then the prior year he was over, seven touchdowns the year prior to that. So in 2019, he was expected for 14.9 touchdowns and he scored 22. So he's been an overperformer throughout his career, and those things are very fluky. We talk about touchdown rate being a fluke quite a bit. That is another case of it. So I'd be cautious on him in terms of, thinking that, hey, he's fallen off a cliff or anything like that. It's just a touchdown rate coming back to normal. So we'll see if it moderates someplace back to his expectation, which I would think it would, and potentially be one that sees a little bit of a rebound here going forward. Last but not least, we'll talk about the Washington football team. You're seeing a conglomeration of receivers outside of Terry McLaurin run some snaps. Basically 50% snap share for Adam Humphries this past week is actually down. 80% for De'Ami Brown. So when he plays, like, and he's healthy, like, he's playing a lot. So 93%, 87%, and then those are the first 2 weeks, then a 65, 42%. He's banged up in that time, and then 80% this past week. So I'd look to see him potentially on the outside quite a bit more in terms of full-on being the wide receiver two in this offense. And we'll see ultimately how it looks if you got, like, Logan Thomas back, for example. You look again, De'Ami Brown runs 30 routes this past week, and he goes 3 for 30 on those 30 routes. So basically, right at 1 yard per route run. So not particularly good, but again, it's early with a backup quarterback. He got all those things. He has a total of 81 yards so far on 137 routes. So that is 0.59 yards per route run. Not great, but we sort of need some growth out of him. And again, as we sort of get him back in. Let's get some volume up and see sort of how he goes. Adam Humphries, I was hoping was going to be like a flex play viable guy coming into the season. 0.93 yards per route run. That's not particularly helpful either. Sort of move on from that theory. 1.9 yards per route run for Terry McLaurin. He's still damn good. So that is where he is. And it's just, he's a really, really good player, right? It's just, it's, he's almost quarterback proof at this point as well, which is pretty nice. When you look at his expectation, he is expected for 16.6 points per game. He's at 15.6, so down just a fraction. And it is actually down, his yardage is what is down, basically about 5 points off of what it should be. So it's pretty close in terms of him performing near expectation, and just down slightly, a slight bit in terms of yards, which I think is something that I'd rather have him be down in touchdowns, because I think that regresses better. But he still has plenty of volume there to keep him at a really high floor. Again, when you are sort of inefficient in one aspect, but your floor is 16.6 expectation, that's really good. You can really, really sink your teeth into that and really like that number. So, all right, well, that'll do it for snap reactions for the wide receiver position for week 6. We are almost... a full third of the way through the regular season. We're getting close to halfway through the regular season. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.